ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Generally, in the classes in our ISKCON temples, we discuss philosophical topics, sometimes social topics, of course in relationship to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada did this. Today, as we're daily singing the Damodarashtaka during the sacred Damodar month, I want to speak on Damodarashtaka, means directly discussing Krishna. That will be not devoid of philosophical topics, because Krishna is inseparable from Krishna Tattva. He is Krishna Tattva. Krishna Tattva Jnana, knowledge of Krishna. From this perspective, from this side of the Vaitarani River, in the material world especially, it's important to understand who is Krishna philosophically. As Lord Krishna Himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhava matah sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante mam buddha bhavasamanvitaha. That those who know Krishna's position as the source of all emanations, the source of everything, they worship Krishna with great feeling. So this discussion of Krishna is an unlimited discussion. Krishna can be discussed. Krishna Tattva can be discussed in so many ways, from so many angles. But this will be particularly following the exposition of Krishna's Damodara Leela, given by Sri Satyavrata Muni, found in the Padma Purana. Sanatana Goswami says that actually these eight verses, as Ashtaka, is Nitya Siddha. It's eternally, it's not made up by Satyavrata Muni, but it manifested in his consciousness in a discussion with Narad Muni and Shonaka Rishi. And was Shonaka Rishi? And was later recorded in Padma Purana by Srila Vyasadeva. So I'm also going to be loosely following the commentary given on this by Srila Sanatana Goswami. I'm not going to finish it all this morning. I mean, even this, the first word is Namami. Namaha. Offering obeisances. So, one devotee, I met him a few years ago. I stayed in Mayapur during Kartik. So, he was giving a series of lectures during Kartik. And so it was about 20 days into Kartik. He told me he was lecturing on the Damodarashtaka every day, but he hadn't got past the first two syllables yet, Namaha. So it could go on unlimitedly, but I won't spend so much time. I'm not even so knowledgeable to do that. The first verse. Namami Ishvaram Satyarananda Rupam Lasad Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashodabhyo Lokaladhavamanam Paramrishtam Atyantato Drutigopya. Yeah, the first word. Namami, I bow down. This is the Dandavat. Naman, to bow down. This is the first word, the first statement. This is a suitable presentation of oneself before Ishvara, the controller, the Supreme Lord, bowing down before Sri Damodara. This is the paradox. The translation stopped. Dvidha, you can use that word. I guess you can use that word. I don't know exactly how that would be translated, but dvidha is close enough. This is the paradox on which the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is based, and particularly the Damodar Lila, or the sweetness of Krishna is so much enhanced by him being the Supreme Controller. The very fact that he can crush us, or that he has no need for us whatsoever. He is Atma Rama, Apta Kama. He is satisfied in himself. All his desires are automatically fulfilled. He has no need for us, but or for anyone, or for anything. But at the same time, he extends himself to his devotees to the extent that he allows himself to be tied up by Mother Yashoda. This paradox is it sweetens bhakti so much. If someone is very nice and very kind, well, that's good. But if they have the facility to be nasty, or they're nice and kind even to persons who they've really got nothing to, they have no real, nothing to get from them, then that quality is enhanced so much more. In a book of quotations, I saw that, I'm paraphrasing, that someone's character is tested or seen by how they behave with people from whom they have nothing to gain. So Krishna has nothing to gain from us. But his natural characteristic is that he is loving. So his natural characteristic is to love. Krishna says, Name dvesho stina priyaha. He says, I don't hate anyone and I don't particularly love anyone. So the first proposition is correct. Krishna doesn't hate anyone, but he loves everyone. So when he says, no one is dear to me, that means that he doesn't favor anyone over anyone else. Everyone is dear to him. But he doesn't hate anyone. Krishna loves everyone. He doesn't need to love anyone. But he's fully satisfied in himself. He's Ishvara. We bow down. We bow down to Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. That is proper. That is the natural law, that one who is inferior should bow down to one who is superior. Now, in the modern age, they invented this idea that everyone's all equal. It's nonsense. No two people are equal in any way. And there are clear distinctions between people. It's not that now we have the Prime Minister of India is doing his job fairly competently, I guess. I mean, I'm not saying that as a political statement, but he's able to do the job. Whether you like his policies or not is a different matter. But it's not that you could just pull some rickshaw driver off the street in Secunderabad and make him the Prime Minister. He doesn't have the capability. And probably Manmohan Singh would make a pretty lousy rickshaw driver too. I don't know if he's practiced in driving rickshaws, I doubt it. So the rickshaw driver is greater than Manmohan Singh in the matter of rickshaw driving. And in the matter of prime ministerial duties, Manmohan Singh is better than most others, probably. So we can't, everyone's not equal. The natural law is that those who are inferior should bow down before those who are superior. So Krishna is superior to everyone. Therefore, the proper duty of everyone is to bow down before him. But this is more than a duty. This is a prayer of love. This prayer to Sri Damodar is specifically not one of awe and reverence. It specifically celebrates the fact that Krishna, who is constitutionally to be worshipped with awe and reverence, himself breaks all boundaries of law, of awe and reverence by being bound by ropes. By being tied up and restricted, he breaks all restrictions of awe and reverence. And simply, in this way, as we'll read in the later verses, in this way, he declares his transcending his position as the Supreme Controller. The position of the Supreme Controller is superior to everyone, but he takes a position even above that. This is unimaginable to the theologian. In the West there's this term, theologian. I don't think there's any term in Sanskrit. I guess you could say Bhagavat Tattva Gyani or Bhagavat Tattva Anvishi or something like that. Theologian means one who speculates on the nature of God. They don't know, actually. But Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore is to be offered obeisances to, transcends that position. He comes to a position far higher than that is imaginable by the theologians or even by the residents of Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, you can't tie Narayan, there's no question. No question of tying him up. Nor does he have a father and mother. He doesn't have a mother to tie him up, nor does he steal butter. And if there are monkeys there, they're well-behaved monkeys. So Gokul, as will be mentioned here in this verse, is a completely different paradigm to that of Vaikuntha, or that which is imaginable to the pious devotees. Even the devotees are very pious, but more than piety is required to enter into the land of Gokul. What is required is sheer desire to enter there. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam mulyam api tatra mulyam lolam mulyam ekam janma koti sukritaya na labhyate. Rupa Goswami has described that to attain Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi. It's very difficult to translate this into English. You can understand it better by listening to the Sanskrit. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi. The mati, or the consciousness, should be bhavita, should be absorbed in Krishna bhakti rasa. So to attain that state, Rupa Goswami, he gives the analogy that if it is possible to attain that state by purchasing it, one should by all means purchase it. Anywhere, if it's anywhere available, purchase it. But what is the price? Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. The only price, there's no price. You bring all your rupees and dollars and gold, and that won't purchase it. But lolyam, or intense desire, greed. But that greed, janma koti sukritaya na labhyate. Even in millions of lifetimes of pious activities, simply by pious activities, one cannot attain that. So it's very rare to attain. So, namami Ishvaram. He's offering obeisance to Ishvara, recognizing that Krishna, this Damodara, this little boy who's worshipped, especially in this month, is the supreme controller. But he's not, he's Ishvara Satchidananda Rupa, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He's not any little boy. He's not any controller. There are many controllers. I just mentioned the Prime Minister of India. He's a controller. He's an important person in this world, and especially in this country. There are many controllers, but Krishna is a controller of another nature, a completely different category. Satchidananda Vigraha, his form is eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So he's introduced, yes, here he is. He's this supreme controller, knowledge, bliss, eternity. Rupam, he's not impersonal. But then it goes on to describe, all right, okay, he's God, we offer our obeisance, but actually we're not offering our obeisance particularly because he is the supreme controller, but because he's running from Mother Yashoda. Or that because he is the supreme controller, and despite that, he's running from Mother Yashoda. He's the supreme controller. So we would expect descriptions of swords and shields and clubs. We see the Chaturbhuj, four-handed Narayan form. He has his Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. So the Shankha that is used in the battle, what is that? Panchajanyam Rishikesham Devadattam Dananjaya. What is that? Pondram Dhadmo Mahashankha is the last line. Ananta Vijayam Raja. Yeah, so the names of the conches are given. They're blown before the battle. Then Gada, that's for smashing the demons. and Chakra, very Sudarshan Chakra, who's very dear to the Lord, goes very quickly because he doesn't want to go be very he doesn't want to be long away from the Lord. He goes and kills the demons. So these are all military icons or insignias. And Padma, that's for blessing the devotee. So we expect for the Supreme Lord, like that, there'll be soldiers, guards, royal paraphernalia. But it's described Lasat Kundala, the swinging earring, describing the beauty of Krishna. He's Ishvara, but in Gokul he rules not exactly by power, but by love, by beauty, by playfulness. So the beauty, first of all, it's been described. It's been mentioned that he's the supreme controller. So that's a big topic, how Krishna is the supreme controller. But now goes on to describe his form. Here in this song are described the tattva, or are mentioned the tattva, or the position of Krishna. And then here's rup, guna, lila, these are also mentioned in brief. It's an ashtaka, it's not a sandarbha. Ashtaka means eight verses. Sandarbha means an essay or a disquisition on a thesis on a topic. So in brief, Krishna is being described. His form, is described here. His swinging earring, there are different kinds of earrings. Mostly in India nowadays we see if people wear earrings, they're the kind they just fit in the ear. They're not the kind that will swing back and forward. These, around the city you see these women, they wear these, what are they called?
Lambari.
They still have the swinging earrings, huh? So Krishna has the kind of earrings that hang down and swing. So naturally the loose earrings, whenever the head moves, then the earring will swing. That is an attractive feature. But especially when Krishna is running away, then the earrings will be swinging. And that's a very attractive feature of Krishna. It's also suggested here that his earrings, that the Lasad Kundala, the swinging earring, is also implies that the ornaments which are placed on someone's body to enhance their beauty. But the ornament of Krishna becomes itself enhanced in beauty by Krishna. As the gopis have stated, we'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna himself is Bhushana Bhushanam. He is the ornament of all ornaments. It's not that something can make Krishna more beautiful, but Krishna makes everything else more beautiful. So just like the gopis, they would sometimes wonder about Krishna's flute. How is it that this flute, which is just a piece of wood, has got so much mercy from Krishna that the flute is always being kissed by Krishna's lips, which we should really be getting the nectar of Krishna's lips, but the flute gets it. It's just a piece of wood. Of course, in Vrindavan, nothing is inanimate. The inanimate is also animate. Everything is chinmay, conscious. So the earrings of Krishna, just like the flute is always being kissed by Krishna's lips, but even more all the time, except when he's sleeping, I suppose Mother Yashoda removes it, must remove his earrings at night. Then they'll be kissing his cheeks continually. So the Supreme Lord, I went on a bit fast there. Sanatana Goswami gives here, although it could be described in so many ways, but Ishvara he describes as Sarva Shaktimanta. Sarva Shaktiman, Sarva Shaktimanta. Endowed with all potencies. Jagadaikanata, the one and only controller of the universe. And Nija Prabhu, who is singing this song, thinks that he's the supreme controller, but I am singing this song, Namami. This is in the singular form. I bow down to Ishvara. So he's the controller of everyone. He's Jagannath. Sarvaloka Ekanatham. He's the controller of all the worlds. But that each devotee can call out to Krishna that you are my Lord. Yes, you're the Lord of everyone else also, but you are kind enough to accept me, so you are my Lord. So it's a personal prayer that you are the Lord of my life. So by addressing him as Ishvara, it recognizes his supremacy and also invites him to remain seated on the Singhasana within our heart. The heart of a devotee is meant for Krishna's residence. The non-devotees, they don't like to recognize. Krishna is in everyone's heart, but the non-devotees, they don't like to recognize that. But for the pure devotees, Tomara Hridaye Shada Govinda Vishram, Govinda is always manifest within the heart of the devotee. So a devotee makes his heart as a suitable residence for Krishna. That means the heart of a devotee, there's no kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, there are no bad qualities. The heart is completely pure and thus is a suitable place for Krishna. Please come and sit here. Suitable place for Krishna to sit. Oh my Lord, Srila Prabhupada often in his translations of the many prayers that appear within Srimad Bhagavatam and other places, Srila Prabhupada adds this to his translation, although it's not specifically in the Sanskrit. He writes, the devotee prays, Oh my Lord. So Ishvara, we pray to him. So Ishvara, he's the supreme controller. We pray to him as the controller of all potencies, Sarva Shaktima, to endow us with the potency, with the Shakti, to speak about him. It's not that, generally we think that I can speak, I can walk, I can talk, I can do this, I will do that, I will do so many things. But we should know that even the power to glorify Krishna comes from Krishna. We cannot just, it's not just me by myself. But even the power to glorify him comes from himself. And actually his deputed agency for glorifying himself is Saraswati, not the Saraswati that people worship in February, in Saraswati Puja. In February here also, in Tamil Nadu, they just had it recently. Generally that comes up in February, Saraswati Puja. But this Saraswati is not the Saraswati of Jara Vidya, or mundane knowledge. Jara Vidya Jato Mayar Bhaibhav Tomar Bhajane Badha Mohajanamiya Nitya Samsare Jivke Kore Gadha. This mundane knowledge is simply a display of Maya, and it's an obstacle in Krishna's service. It causes more illusion to awaken within this world, this temporary world, and converts the jiva into an ass. So the Saraswati who favors the devotee with the knowledge of how to praise Krishna, that is the original form of Saraswati. And the Saraswati who is worshipped for mundane knowledge is the Dushta Saraswati, or the one who, she is an expansion of Maya. Whereas Saraswati, Shuddha Saraswati, she is an expansion of Radha, who is always glorifying Krishna. But it may not be so suitable for Radha in her position to glorify Krishna exactly in the way that many others do. It wouldn't be suitable for Radha personally to recite this song, this Ashtakam. So she does so through others. So just like if someone is excellently cooking for Krishna, we say, oh, that's favored by Radha. Radha has cooked this. Or Lakshmi has cooked this. Just like in Puri, in the kitchen, huge kitchen complex, it's understood this is Lakshmi Kabandar. This is the house or place of Lakshmi. She's doing it. All the cooks are supposed to be expansions of Lakshmi. So to glorify Krishna, one has to take blessings from him, which are manifested through Saraswati. Saraswati, Krishna Priya, Krishna Bhakti Tarhiya. Saraswati is very dear to Krishna, and Krishna Bhakti is her heart, is her very heart. So, yeah, his form, that we already said, the Lasat Kundalam. Gokule Brajamanam, he's manifested, he shines forth, he's effulgently manifested in Gokul. There's another paradox. Above Vaikuntha is a cow shed, or cow pasture. You go up, 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 you see, we're just like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we're here on earth, and then we go to the heavenly planets, then we go to the Rishi's planets, then to Brahma Loka, then to Kailash, and then we go to the impersonal Brahman, and then to and then we come to Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka, Mathura, and above everything is a cow pasture. It's called Gokul, where go means cow, and cool means where there are many, or a gathering of. So Gokul means as go, cows, gopa, cowherd men, gopi, cowherd women, govatsa, the calves. So it's full of go, cowland. Krishna is manifested in cowland, where he manifests, the Gokul is a place that is particularly suitable for manifesting excellences which are not possible to manifest elsewhere. His topmost excellence of love, of free dealings, loving dealings, without the limitations of him being God. Being God, God is unlimited, but being God places limitations. The limitation that he has to behave in a formal manner with others, and others behave in a formal manner with him. That limitation is called maryada. Maryada. The word means, is translated in English as etiquette or proper protocol. It literally means a limit. There are limits to what you can say and do. Being God, just like, again, we use the example of the Prime Minister of India, there are limits. In that position, there are limits to what he can do. He can't just go to a party and get drunk. He can't just join a bunch of kids in the street and play cricket with them. There are limits to what he might be able to do it just for 5 minutes as a kind of, just to show that he likes them or something like that. But being God, he can't go on doing it all the time. Maybe he could do it for 5 minutes, but he couldn't do it all the time. But Krishna shows the excellence of loving pastimes in Gokul, where there's no thought of him being God. There's no limitation of him being God. And he simply plays all the time. That's all he does. He's not being God. His godness is left below in Vaikuntha, and to some extent in Mathura and Dwaraka. But there's no sense of his godness in Gokul. This is his swabhavik shobha. This is his natural shobha. How do you translate shobha? Auspiciousness, what's the word? Shobha, niceness, beauty, brilliance. There's no one word which captures it in English. Swabhavik shobha is only possible to manifest in Gokul. So, Gokul is the proper place for Krishna Leela. Leela, this term is used, we say Rama Leela. Rama also has his Leela. But really the word Leela is that very word, just like the word Shobha. It is fully and properly fulfilled in the context of Gokul. The Shobha, Vaikuntha Shobha, or Ayodhya Shobha, it's not full Shobha, not, although Krishna in Vaikuntha is the same Supreme Lord. But this important term, Swabhavik, his own nature is manifested without maryada, without the limit, without any limitations in Gokul. So Leela, really Leela takes place in Gokul. In other places, there's always some other consideration. There's some limiting factor of maryada. But in Gokul, there's no limit. Krishna can be totally outrageous. You don't know this word, outrageous. It means to brazenly, boldly, or besharam. That's a good word. Yeah. He can do whatever he likes. There's no one to say, you shouldn't do this, don't behave like this. To Ram, they may say, anyway, Ram has no inclination like that. But if he was to act a little improperly, then the elders would tell him, don't do like that. That's not proper behavior for a king. But for Krishna, there's no such. There's no one to tell. Who's going to tell him? Anyway, for cowherd men, what maryada do they have to uphold? They don't. The very fact that they have no status in society makes it possible for Krishna to exhibit his leela without any maryada. So he has to come to a lower caste to exhibit his leela in full. Just having fun, that's all. This is pervertedly reflected in the modern age where people are besharam, shameless, and they break all the rules of human society. And they become just like savages. But Krishna, not like that. Krishna maintains his dignity by apparently being undignified. Krishna does not become degraded. Krishna in Vrindavan is a thief, maybe a liar. In Vrindavan also, in the case of his eating dirt, we don't know whether he ate dirt or not. Balaram said he did. Krishna says he didn't. When Mother Yashoda looked, she found all the dirt in the universe inside his mouth. Whether he actually ate some at that time or not, we're not sure. Krishna is dancing with so many girls, but he doesn't lose his dignity. He doesn't become degraded. He is amoghalila. His pastimes, they are without, there's no question of sin touching Krishna. Whereas a human, if he wants to have fun. Fun means you should do what you like. This modern word, this English word fun, anand, it's a different word. There's no, anand is a different word. The fun, the idea is, You enjoy yourself in a way without any consideration, restriction, and it means specifically by titillating the senses or driving fast, taking intoxication, breaking laws just for the fun of it, doing illegal things, the risk of getting caught. But by doing that, people become degraded and they have to suffer and go to hell. So it's a perverted reflection of Krishna's Gokula Leela, in which Krishna is simply having fun. So Gokul is the proper place for Krishna's pastimes. Gokula Ananda. He is the Ananda in Gokul. He gives Ananda to all others. He himself finds Ananda in Gokul. And Gokul itself is Ananda. So Gokule Brajamanam. Krishna enjoys wonderful pastimes in Gokul. Now the specific pastime is being described here. Yashoda bhiyo lokhala dhavamanam param rishtam atyantato drutya gopya. The particular pastime of running in fear, Yashodaya, Bhiya, he's bhita, he's afraid. Again, his Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, has now become afraid. He's literally afraid. It's also one kind of fun, but it's verging on the not fun for Krishna. He's running. Yashoda, out of fear, Yashoda be a ulukalat, from the ulukal, which means the grinding mortar. Krishna had placed it upright and then climbed on top of it to where the butter is hung in the rafter. The butter is hung in the rafter so that the monkeys they can't get to it. But there's another monkey. Krishna drags the grinding mortar, breaks the butter pot, feeds it to the monkeys. What a rascal. What kind, I mean, if you have a child like that, mothers, they're kind to their children, but sometimes the children are very naughty. Krishna's very naughty. I mean, among children, Krishna is very, very naughty. And Yashoda gets angry. She should get angry with him. That's another symptom of her motherly love, that she gets angry with him. Yashoda bhiyo lokala dhavama. And Krishna, he's broken the butter pot. He's distributing the butter, but he knows I'm being very naughty. And if Mother Yashoda catches me, she's going to be very angry. So Krishna's distributing the butter to the monkeys, and at the same time he's looking to see, that is Yashoda coming? And she is coming. She's seen him, but Yashoda's very clever. So she gets a stick and very quietly comes so that Krishna doesn't see. But then Krishna sees her and he jumps down and runs. Because he knows he's done wrong and he knows that Mother Yashoda is carrying that stick to beat him. Namami Swaram Satyadananda Rupam. The Supreme Controller is running. But Krishna is very small. So his legs, he's not that fast. And Mother Yashoda, even though she's quite old, she's not a very young woman, but her legs are much longer than Krishna's. So she runs first and catches him from behind. Krishna is caught. So this is the description in the first verse. That Krishna, the fear of Krishna, his eyes, he knows, this is his taking a risk. That's fun, isn't it? People do risky things for fun. They drive a motorbike very fast. It's very dangerous, but they get some fun. So Krishna's having the fun that if I get caught, I'm going to get into trouble. So that's a lot of... He's thinking, well, maybe I've gone too far this time. And he's looking here and there in fear, the Supreme Controller, deliberately making trouble. It's called mischief. In English, that's called mischief. That means to deliberately make some trouble, not very serious, not like blowing up a city or something like that, but some small, the kind of thing that children do. Something naughty, they know it's wrong, and they deliberately do something wrong just to be contrary. So Krishna is doing that. So Mother Yashoda caught Krishna. This is very significant because Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayora tapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yat prabhadasinya vinchincha tadve govindamadi purusham tamaham vajame. Krishna is avichincha tatva. even the best brain, by attempting to understand Krishna, cannot. Even the greatest yogis, by performing yoga, meditation, breathing, pranayama, expertly, over many, many millions of years, they cannot even begin to approach the tip of the lotus feet of Govinda. But Mother Yashoda, she's not sitting around having a philosophical discussion about Krishna. She's angry with him. And by her anger, she has caught him. Others became angry with Krishna. Kali Avana became angry with Krishna. We'll find that later in Bhagavatam. And chased after Krishna. But he couldn't catch Krishna. Not possible to catch Krishna. Kali Avana, he was a powerful king. Whereas Mother Yashoda was a cowherd woman. Must have been quite strong because, you know, they have to hold the cows and carry big pails of milk, churn the butter, so the cowherd women, they're not weak, but she's not a king, a powerful fighter. But Kali Avana, he couldn't catch Krishna. The yogis, they cannot catch Krishna. But Yashoda, she caught Krishna. Not by physical power, not by mental power, but because she wanted to punish him out of maternal love. Now, Krishna is much more powerful than she is. But he has agreed to become caught by her. Some years ago, in Russia, I was in one town on with a group of devotees. We were performing the Yuga Dharma Harinama Sankirtan. We were standing in one place. And just to the side, I saw one scene. There was this huge gypsy guy. Looked like a gypsy. Very big and strong and powerful. And there was a woman standing in front of him. I think it must have been his mother. And she was about half the height. And she was looking up at him like this, and he was looking down. And he'd done something wrong, and she was publicly chastising him. Now, physically, he could, he's much stronger, but she's his mother, and he's done something wrong. And he's a grown man, he's in public, but she's chastising him like anything. So I just thought that I thought of Damodar Leela at that time. of course, it's a perverted reflection, but actually in the West, they wouldn't take it. The young boys, they wouldn't, from about the age of 8 or something, they don't care for their mothers at all, in any way. But at least, I may say gypsy, and they're almost universally hated, the gypsies. But that much culture was there. He didn't know anything about the word culture properly even, but his mother is chastising him, and he has to submit. So Krishna is the supreme controller. He has to submit to Mother Yashoda. There's no question of him not. He could have shown, just like with Kali Avana, even though Kali Avana was running so fast, Krishna was always ahead. He could never catch him. So in the same way, Krishna could have eluded Mother Yashoda, but he didn't. And actually, we say he could, as the supreme controller, he could, but in Gokul, he cannot. Because in Gokul, different laws work. Throughout the whole spiritual and material worlds, The law is Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Controller. But in Gokul, there's a different set of laws. And the set of the laws, no one really knows what they are. You can't just say, here's statute 79B, clause 1. There's no such law in Gokul. It's the law is whatever is pleasing to Krishna, that is the law. But that works in a very strange way, because often Krishna is pleased by being chastised, in this lila by being tied up. Yeah, you're using the word Bhagavan, but here he's not Bhagavan. He's Yashoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, Radhanath, for those who know. Not everyone in Vrindavan knows that he's Radhanath. So it's different laws, and no one can really understand what the laws are. They change at every moment, and they're just made up at every moment. And whatever was the law 1 minute ago, that's not the law anymore. So it can be, it's a very confusing place. If one tries to enter Gokul with a set of thinking, well, it must be like this, a set of strict understanding, it's not possible to understand. The only law is Bhagavad Bhakti. For the devotees, the bhakti to Krishna. But they don't even know that. They don't sit down and talk about bhakti. They just are living bhakti all the time. So, and for Krishna, he is Bhagavan, so there's no Bhagavad Bhakti. But for him, the law according to which he works is bhaktavatsalya, that his affection and caring and nourishment for his devotees. This is the law by which Gokul works. And it's a law, but it's not like any scientific law. It's undefinable. It's definitely there. It's not totally chaotic. There are principles, but it's dynamic. It's not static. It's not predictable. The very nature of it is that it's unpredictable. A law means that, well, you can predict. It should be like this. You should drive on a certain side of the road, depending on which country you're in. There are certain laws. But in Vrindavan, there are loose set of laws. There are some basic principles. Those principles, they are the principles of rasa. So there are the sthayi bhavs, there is the shantaras, you know, shantarati, dasyarati, sakyarati, vatsalyarati, shringarati. So there are certain laws that Radha doesn't act like Yashoda and Yashoda doesn't act like Radha. The motherly role of Mother Yashoda, in some ways you could say it's predictable. But exactly how Krishna responds to that, that is unpredictable. And actually, with each of the five levels, it becomes more and more chaotic and unpredictable. Dasyarati is, there's some kind of maryada. In Sakyarati, well, there's still, well, there are two within Sakyarati, the Vishramba Sakyarati, that means the mellow of friendship. There's the Sagaurav Sakyarati, that means with some Gaurav, which means consideration or some reservations. But Vishramba Sakyarati, there is without any reservations, very free, intimate mixing. Then in Vatsalya Rati, Madhi Yashoda doesn't think, well, what's Krishna going to think of me if I do this or that? There's no thinking. Krishna's a very great person. There's no such thinking. She is free to do with him what she likes. She can tie him up if she thinks it's right. If he behaves wrongly, she will tie him up. Literally. And in the Shringarati or Madhuri Rasa, there's no rules. No rules. You can do anything. You can lie, cheat, steal, act outrageously in the behavior between the Krishna and the gopis. It's completely unpredictable. And that's why it's so sweet. There's not much sweetness in following rules and regulations. But there's much sweetness in acting freely, regardless, or in deliberately contempt of rules and regulations, just for the sake of satisfying Krishna. But exactly what is pleasing to Krishna may be very difficult to understand. Krishna, tied up by ropes, he's very happy. This pastime of his is more pleasing than blessing the devotees of Vaikuntha. It's a very pleasing pastime. That Krishna is afraid and he's tied up with ropes. So, what is that? Ahari vagatiya premna. The prema, or pure love for Krishna, it moves, it has a direction, but it doesn't go straight. It's not straight, or it moves like a snake. You've seen how you've all seen snakes, right? Even in Hyderabad, from time to time, you probably see a snake. In the village, you see them all the time. Have you seen how a snake moves? It doesn't move straight. It wriggles like this. And each wriggle, the length will be different each time, and it moves in a general direction, but not exactly straight. It's crooked. So the movements of love of Krishna are quite crooked. But it's not purposeless. The snake has a purpose in its movement. So the movements of prema, of love of Krishna, they have a direction. They're not purposeless, but they're unpredictable. So, in singing this song, we remember Krishna, his beauty, and the beauty of Mother Yashoda chasing after him, panting. She's running, trying to catch him. She eventually catches him. Her full waist, breasts, they're just like his earrings are swinging. She's also swinging. Her hair becomes loose. Devotees who worship Krishna in Vatsalya Ras, they cherish the vision of Mother Yashoda chasing after Krishna very angrily. When she's very angry with Krishna, she wants to punish Krishna. This is her Shuddha Vatsalya Bhava. So the gopi, the whole gopa caste, they're so much blessed by Krishna being present among them, that Krishna, he's also Gopa, Gopala Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami has commented about this. We say that Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukamakad Amrita, what is that? Shukamakad Amritam Drava Sangyatam. This nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam has become even more tasty by the contribution of Shukadeva Goswami. So here's one of his contributions, one of his comments, describing the fortune of the people of Vrindavan. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nandagopa vrajokasam, yanmitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. How fortunate are the people, Ananda and the gopas and all the residents of Vrindavan. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, twice he says. How lucky are they that the supreme truth, personality of Godhead, the supreme who is worshipped in so many ways by so many people at so many levels, has appeared among them. The supremely blissful, supreme truth has appeared among them as their friend, lover, son, well-wisher, as Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj also commented, or he asked Shukadeva Goswami, as he was hearing the childhood pastimes of Krishna, in amazement, Parikshit asked Shukadeva that Nanda kim akarod Brahman? What did Nanda do? What did he do, O Brahmana, O Shukadeva? Nanda kim akarod Brahma, Shreya evam mahodayam, Yashoda cha mahabhaga, papam yasyastanang harihi. How did Nanda get that? How did he get such fortune? And Yashoda, how did she become so fortunate that Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who takes everything away, he took the milk from her breast. He sucked her breast. Who could be so fortunate? What do you have to do to get the position to be the father and mother of Krishna? Parikshit Maharaj, in great amazement in hearing the pastimes of Krishna, questioned in this way. Sanatana Goswami quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. While chasing after Krishna, the slim-waisted Yashoda's broad hips caused her pace to slow down. From running quickly, the flowers had come loose from her hair and were falling after her, but she still continued to pursue him. In this fashion, after chasing and chasing him, she finally caught him from behind. Well, that says 11:30. That's not correct, is it? 9:30. So shall I finish? I mean, I could go into another verse, but I already took more than 1 hour, I think, isn't it? For one verse. Or I'll continue at midday at Abids. How about that? Hare Krishna! Sri Damodara Ki Jai! Does anyone have any question? Yeah.
We heard that Maharaj that Goloka pastime is arranged by Yoga Maya.
In Goloka, the pastime is arranged by Yoga Maya.
Urvasi Devi in Vrindavan.
Purnamasi is sometimes equated with Yoga Maya. Yeah, then?
So just here, who is arranging the past time?
Who is arranging?
Nobody can predict for long.
No one can predict. There must be someone controlling the Supreme Controller. Parasya Shakti Vividhai Vashuyate Swabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Krishna has his own potencies which, as if by themselves, by their own swabhav, the Shaktis of Krishna, they're all persons. They're listed, some of his Shaktis. The Ila, Shri, Bhu, Nila, Tushti, Pushti. These are some of the Shaktis of the Supreme Lord, which by their swabhav, by their own natural inclination, they coordinate together to arrange everything. In the Gaudiya Parampara, is everyone aspiring for Golok Vrindavan? No. Mostly, but some of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Rama Bhaktas. Murari Gupta is one, yeah. Famous is Murari Gupta. Anupam, the brother of Rupan Sanatan, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Vallabh, he's also another Rama Bhakta. Are you a Rama Bhakta? If you can be a Rama Bhakta, that's a great glory. All right, yeah. Did any time Mother Yashoda beat Krishna? You want to see Krishna beaten? We don't want to see Krishna beaten. Carrying a stick, does she beat him? Well, after the whole Damodar Leela, where the two trees fell down, and by luck, they didn't fall on Krishna. Then for quite some time after that, Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajvasis, they were very angry at Mother Yashoda. How could you tie him up and put him in such a dangerous situation? It's only by good luck that he was saved from the falling of the trees. Nanda said, how could you tie him up so cruelly? So Yashoda was quite distraught for some time afterward. Then some other demon came and then they forgot it all. Do you think Mother Yashoda can beat Krishna? You're asking, does Yashoda beat Krishna? This is not a very good question. Yeah.
There are two kinds of sakyaras you explained, Vishramas.
There are two divisions of sakyaras. Yeah.
So, are there examples like Arjuna and one of the kind of sakyaras and Subala and other?
Yeah, there are different devotees. Arjuna himself was generally in the very free relationship with Krishna. You're talking about Arjuna of Kurukshetra. There's another Arjuna in Vrindavan also. So generally his relationship with Krishna is very free. Sakheti matva prasabhanya duktam. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti. He would refer to Krishna as Sakha, Krishna, Yadava. But then after seeing the Vishvarupa, then his attitude changed, and then he became respectful. So his attitude, in terms of Rasavicha, his attitude became, he went down. By seeing Vishvarupa, his attitude toward Krishna became reduced, or at a lower level. These are all very intimate topics. These are topics which concern the standard of perfection that we should all desire. So, Hare Krishna, we'll finish for now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Damodar Ashtaka Ki Jai. Shri Damodar Bhagavan Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.